We did get one of our first one of our fans commenting on our Facebook today, talking about postmanning. He says after 17 years of postmanning, he has left and now become a man of light leisure.
So, you're a man at leisure and you're still working.
Yeah. I've only got 10 years left to go until I can also leave the postie business, according to this guy.
Well, according to this guy, Shawnee fucking Constant.
Oh, come on.
The man you were just quoting over on the Turning Heel podcast was Shawnee fucking Constant.
No need for that kind of language.
That's my name, and I'm definitely not a fan of your show.
Although, ladies, I am a professional man of leisure.
I don't know what you half donkeys are doing over there that makes you forget who it is you're talking to and what it is you're talking about. But maybe if you stepped your game up and dried your Irish limey asses out, you would have a roster of fans that were worth bringing up by name.
Let's show them some respect.
Mr. Wolf.
Respect.
Vincent, hot to motherfucking Trotto.
Respect.
Shane, the pain train.
Respect.
Joseph, pencil neck, Shimana.
Total respect.
Your boy Jace, the anarchist in Australia.
Respect from down under.
The one woman wrecking crew. Brutalities.
Respect.
Mike, the Iceman Berg.
Absolute respect.
The real Miss Elizabeth in Louisville.
Respect.
And the original Scotch Egg himself, Chris motherfucking Hughes.
Respect.
The following contest scheduled for one fall is for the NXT Championship.
I got the gift again and the gift of Jed, and I'll put that lazy eye right back to work.
Any man with two hands has a fighting chance.
That's Luke Gallows there on the right. That's Carl Anderson. Anderson and Gallows are here.
Look at Nia having a little fun, sending a message to the entire women's division.
Delete! 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 Delete!
Oh, really? I'm not allowed in your little huddle?
No, sir.
Really?
No.
You know what? Big E, you just made the list!
Oh, no.
Yes!
Whew. All right. I'm glad to get that over with.
Was it Payback or was it Backlash? No, it was Payback this week.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they put Payback and Backlash within like 3 weeks of each other?
I don't know.
That's some bad planning.
It seems like Vince McMahon woke up the day after WrestleMania and said, let's do some new stuff. And we've got people over here who are fighting in this pay-per-view over there. And
I yeah.
don't really know who's doing what or why.
Well, you know, and also we've got great Balls of Fire to look forward to in a couple of months.
What the fuck is that about?
The return of Brock Lesnar at WWE Great Balls. Can we just get Vince to do like his old 80s commentator?
Oh, please.
Like when he used to WrestleMania. Can we get him to say Great Balls of Fire like that? Just come out and do.
I can't wait to see what the Great Balls of Fire match is going to be.
Yeah, right. Are we bringing the Inferno match back? That would be great. Are we going to have Hulk Hogan? Did you ever see the video of Hulk Hogan trying to light the piece of paper on fire to throw at the guy and then fucking goes up in his face and he burns his eyebrows off?
No, but that's awesome.
Yeah, it's one of the worst things that ever happened in WCW.
What was the Inferno match?
The Inferno match was Kane and The Undertaker. Kane's been in every one of them, in the same way The Undertaker always does the casket match.
Right,
you can't
right,
have
right.
a casket match without The Undertaker, which sucks. But the Inferno match was they would put this, I want to say like this pipe around the ring. Like,
okay.
Where you know where Kevin Owens powerbombs people, like between the rope and the
on
edge
the apron,
of
the hardest part of the ring.
Right. They would put this thing on all four sides around the apron. And then once the guys were in there, they would light it, and it was like like fueled so that it would keep the fire going. And the object was not to pin your opponent or get your opponent to tap out or whatever like that. It was to set your opponent on fire.
Oh, excellent.
Once somebody was set on fire, they lost, and the match was over.
Ooh.
And it was always Kane. Kane always had to be in the Inferno matches, and like especially when he was wearing the full suit with the full sleeve, like they just the sleeve was he made sure to wrap his arm underneath the sleeve, and they would just light the sleeve on fire. And as soon as they let him on fire, they've got guys at the ring with a fire extinguisher. Like as soon as the bell rings, they just.
Is it really necessary to tell us about the sleeve?
Maybe.
Come on, man.
I just want to make sure that you know that no one was actually, you know. I mean, somebody actually got lit on fire, but it's like stunt work.
Is that where Kane's hair went? I did not know until recently that Kane had always had a wig in that mask. Never.
I don't know if it was always a wig, though.
Yeah, because I hadn't. I remember Kane when he first came out. I was watching a little bit. And then didn't watch for about 15 years.
Right.
And then now see Kane.
Oh, yeah.
I think
because if you actually go back to the Raw where he has to take the mask off, first of all, I wish he'd kept that haircut because it's the most atrocious haircut I've ever seen on a person. But at the same time, his hair looked different in that specific match.
Uh-huh.
And I remember even at the time watching that match and going like, Kane's hair looks weird tonight. Oh, man, he's going to lose, isn't he? That's not his real hair, is it? It's like peeking at your Christmas presents before Christmas comes around.
Right. It's like people on the... Someone's getting pinned on super high-def giant screen TV, and you see their eyes staring at the ref.
Yeah. It's like, you're like, oh, this isn't the one.
No.
This isn't the one. It's always when the guy isn't looking at the ref, and he's like, oh, yeah, this is it. It's over.
So what did you think of Payback?
You know, I went in with low expectations, and I think there were definitely some good surprises in there.
I agree.
I did not expect, even with all of last year, with the new Vince McMahon makes you lose in your hometown mentality,
right.
I did not expect Bayley to not walk out the champ. All people to survive that, I figured Bayley would be the one.
Yeah, and that was a fairly early surprise, right?
Yeah, yeah, I think that was like second match or something like that.
Right after Jericho.
Yeah, another big surprise.
Did not expect him to take the title.
Yeah, we all looked at that and they decided that, well, he's going on tour with Fozzy in a week or two, so this is it. This is the last hurrah of Jericho. Drink it in, man.
Right, right.
And that wasn't the case. They swerved us just enough to, give us Tuesday night.
Right.
Which we can talk about in a couple minutes here.
Yep.
But there were a lot of spots in the match. Like I took some notes because there were a lot of spots in various matches that I was highly entertained with. I'm like, I need to write this down or I'm going to forget to tell you about it.
Right, right.
Like, for instance, in the Kevin Owens match, he had Jericho in a headlock and he was just rubbing his beard back and forth on the side of his head.
Yes.
Like, he weaponized his beard.
Yes, he's so mean.
Why isn't somebody like Luke Harper done that or Bray Wyatt with the giant beard?
Great question.
Just like weaponize the beard, man.
Yeah. Braid that up and get some sort of beads to whack people in the face.
Yeah, like she used to have the beads and just like clack, 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 right in the face.
Smart.
Like, pff, 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 get your beard out of my face, man. Ask him, does he give up? I haven't washed his beard in like a month.
dread beard. gross.
But Alexa was on, you know, was 110% on Sunday night.
All weekend. Coming in and gloating afterwards.
Oh yeah. But I remember she came out, and when the fans were chanting something at her, she just like the camera was on her and you could hear her go, how rude,
right?
How dare you, how rude. And then like totally toying with the ref's five count.
Yes.
Was amazing.
That was a great spot.
Yes. Like playfully moving her head back and forth and counting along with them until four, and then going, okay, I'm not doing it anymore.
I thought that was really heel. And
so heel as
shocking that you haven't seen that more often. Now, of course, people play with the five count, and I'm
sure, for sure
there have been instances where, but she no just one's really
like,
sold
Yeah, that. No one's taunted the ref about the fact that, like, what the fuck are you going to do?
Right.
You're going to count to five, and I'm going to break at four. Yeah, so
she is such a brat. And she's able to twist the brattiness, however, in different ways.
Yeah.
So it really works. She can take you by surprise. Hard not to gush about how good she got from being just the
It's something she'd mentioned on Raw Talk, their version of Talking Smack mm-hmm. that they did after the pay-per-view, the fact that like all you hear about is the four horsewomen coming out yes. of NXT, and she might have been like one generation behind them, but she's just as solid as any of them.
Perhaps better.
Yeah, which is just fantastic. Every week we just have a segment where we, you know, gush over Alexa Bliss, mm-hmm. but she's literally that good.
The hits are going to keep on coming. And
she's so much fun to watch.
It's going to be worth talking about. Yeah, no, that spot specifically. Was there another spot in that match that was excellent? I seem to you have your notes there.
You know, I did have something written down, and it was a small... A bit of nerdery
okay.
that happened is that the way the match ended is that Bayley ate a turnbuckle mm-hmm. and then she DDT'd her, which for one, I hate when people default to the DDT. It happens a lot with the women wrestlers when okay. they default to the DDT as a finisher because like, yeah, it was a finisher for a lot of wrestlers, but like put your own spin on something, especially right. if you're going to do the DDT. Like do something that makes it yours.
I totally understand what you're saying. Although kind of I did think it was a pretty vicious DDT coming off of that face plant.
Absolutely. I handed Absolutely.
That. But I know exactly what you're saying. I felt that way with Seth Rollins when he introduced that high kick
yeah,
thing.
The knee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The knee. Right. The nose breaker, as
yeah,
I called
it. Yeah, the rainmaker into the knee. The
rainmaker, yeah. It didn't, but you know, whatever, here nor there. Is that going to be her? Is that
she did it Monday too? She finished the match Monday with a DDT. Mm, and I'm yeah. like, because she's got a moonsault that is beautiful.
I really like her, that thing that she does
off the top rope.
Is it a straight moonsault or does she do a little?
I think she puts
it,
no, you know what? I think you're right. I think the moonsault is actually when she has the person down and she like flips, she hits him with the knees, and then she comes over.
Sort of
and
a straight somersault onto the person. Yeah. She does this sort of...
she does kind of a twisting moonsault.
Spiraling...
right, which is, you know, it's like the... It's the moonsault you do when you don't trust yourself enough to actually go fully backwards.
Right, right.
As somebody who, you know, backyard wrestled for like a year or so.
Okay.
And it was just like, man, I really want a moonsault off this trampoline, but like, I'm going to land on the top of my head. Right, so I'm going to go sideways so that I know where I'm going. But having as somebody who's watched Bayley for the last couple of years, Bayley's had a spot specifically in NXT. Whenever somebody would like put her head in the turnbuckle, mm-hmm. she would no sell it.
Ah.
It was just a constant Bayley thing: head in a turnbuckle, no sell. And she lost Sunday basically by having her head driven into a turnbuckle.
Ah, so you're suggesting that there's some poetic justice?
I don't know. I'm saying, like I said, as a nerd and looking at continuity, I'm like, Hey, that doesn't make sense.
I do think that Bayley put on a pretty damn good show.
Yeah.
I'm very fidgety about Bayley right now because her mic work is terrible.
Yeah.
And
her ring work can be hit or miss.
Yes. She has. She does seem to show up for the big events.
Right.
And whether that's a confidence thing and she's just finding it at this time in her career, you know, it's finding one specific reason is kind of a fool's errand because she's in a progression. I mean,
right.
She's still very early in her career.
Yeah, and something you saw this week may never rear its head again.
Right, right. I think that she's been putting on excellent matches. But I like how they ejected into Monday and making it a bit of a free-for-all again, which
yeah.
we'll get to at some point, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. And... we can talk about Y2J later, but how brutal was Sunday night, man?
How so?
Let's start with a tag match.
Teeth of getting knocked out?
Yeah, like Sheamus kicking...
Dental appointment.
Sheamus kicking Jeff right in the face and tooth just falling out of his skull.
Does Jeff Hardy have fake teeth? When they show the close-ups, they are so pearly white.
I know. Well, there's that and the fact that there was literally no blood. Like,
is Jeff Hardy a real human being?
Maybe not. For somebody that's about the same age as me or you, that's doing the things that he is doing.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know.
Fucking show off.
But like, Matt was bleeding from somewhere on the top of his head by the end of that match. And, you know, they knew they went through a war.
Yes.
And it was fun to watch.
Yes.
I greatly appreciate seeing... Now that Sheamus has tried to be the good guy while Cesaro's the good guy, now watching Cesaro try and be the bad guy, which
yes.
is like Sheamus's his safety blanket.
Yes, it's very entertaining. I watched the Raw talk as well, and
yep.
you know, Sheamus was just you know so excited to be able to cut loose as a heel.
Yeah,
and you can tell that It's still a little new for
Cesaro.
He's right. Not quite sure how to handle it yet.
I also feel like as I was watching the match, because like immediately there was the kick in the face, and then you hear the commentator say something about the tooth, and then you got a real good camera angle of Jeff Hardy and his like hockey player smile.
Right, and you're
like, whoa, he actually lost a tooth. And I spent a little bit of the match watching Sheamus somewhat gingerly make sure Jeff was okay. While they continued to do the match, I could tell that Sheamus was like, bro, I'm sorry.
Right, I
knocked your tooth out, and that was not my intent. That was not what that spot was supposed to be. And Jeff going like, it's cool, let's do this. It's cool, let's do this.
I love when that happens. I like when you can see through the veil in a good way like that.
And it's the same thing, like you're saying, afterwards to hear Sheamus really harp on the fact he knocked the guy's tooth out.
You know
that there was a conversation where it was like, dude, use it. Like, it's going to get such heat. Use it.
Yeah, the Hardys know what's up.
Right. And it led into some broken Matt and Sheamus interaction on Twitter.
I know. Interesting.
You know, all us internet smarks are just waiting. We're just waiting for him to... I almost figured when I saw him with a microphone on Monday, I'm like, is he going to start talking in the goofy, broken Hardy accent? But no, he's still mad. He's still, everything is fine.
Any minute, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's a slow play. It's a slow burn. Yeah, we were talking. I was talking with Joseph, one of the brats. They were in town.
And, yeah.
It seemed, you know, that slow play thing, the wind is completely out of the sails from WrestleMania, right? They just sort of have chosen to slow play it. And I think it's the lack of competition. We were talking about it.
Yeah.
Going back to a conversation you and I have had, that because they don't have that competition, there's no...
Because your next highest competition is Impact Wrestling, and they are just hanging on by a thread, you know? And I mean, you do have, like, from a work rate standpoint, you do have Ring of Honor, and you do have New Japan breathing down your neck, but that's... I don't believe anybody in the WWE offices looks at New Japan or Ring of Honor as legit competition.
No, none of them have the reach in any capacity. And
right.
That's sort of the issue, and... you know, with Ring of Honor, they do pre-recordings, right?
Yeah.
And that's always going to be a problem.
Right, yeah. If you watch Ring of Honor, it's like here in Detroit, it's on at like 2 in the morning on Channel 20.
Right.
You know, and you watch a Ring of Honor, like they'll literally have their pay-per-view events on a Saturday night. And then, you know, like 2 hours later, you're watching a Ring of Honor show from 3 weeks ago.
Right.
On Channel 20. And they're not telling you what any of the results or anything because they recorded it 3 weeks ago.
But yeah, in terms of work rate, obviously, you and I both dip from time to time into the indie stuff.
So. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's always, it's kind of like where you can, it's like listening to independent rock bands or something like that.
Where
you can hear a band or see a wrestler before they become, you know, a Kevin Owens.
Yeah, it's the raw artist that doesn't have the editor saying, the test screenings, the people don't seem to like it when you do this, and so we don't want you to, you know. And
right.
So you get that little more a little more raw and tasty
and
wacky, you know.
Absolutely. They're definitely trying things out and seeing what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And sometimes stuff doesn't work in a big way. But, you know, speaking of the raw artist and speaking of the brutality of Sunday night, Joe and friggin' Seth Rollins, that was also brutal. They were laying into each other, which was good to see because, as we said last week, there was pretty much no program leading up to this.
Right.
And we just expected, like, the match will be good. But, you know, there's not a whole lot of reason why these two are fighting.
No. Again, it goes to that slow burn kind of thing. You still have Joe twisting in the wind and you just sort of... Seth Rollins wanted to wrap up his rivalry with Joe.
Right.
Well, after a several year rivalry with Triple H, the big hype of the rivalry with Joe sort of popped up and been given nothing to work with other than giving one lazy too sweet when he teamed up with the club. Yeah,
right.
Oh, showing that he's not that interested in club politics. That's what I took from that.
Most people
were just bitching about the fact that it was a lame ass too sweet. I think Samoa Joe's a goddamn professional and knows what he's doing.
Yeah, well, especially watching that match, that was, in my opinion, an amazing example of in-ring psychology.
Mm-hmm.
The way, you know, obviously Joe is going to work over, he's going to go after the knee, and he's going to work it over, but he modified his senton that he usually hits people with and hit and like landed on his leg instead of on his body where he usually does. And I was like,
I know.
That was glorious.
Yeah, it was.
That was, I was sitting by myself, you know, in the middle of the night watching the thing, and I'm like, that was joyous. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And that's what we were hoping for. Well, that's what I was hoping for. I mean, you just have two great workers.
Yeah.
So just let them go. Why you have 1,000 pay-per-views, I don't know, but when you do and you just have to throw people together, you can do a lot worse than Seth Rollins yeah. and Samoa Joe.
For sure. For sure.
For example, you can have a House of Horrors match.
Well, you can. I wouldn't recommend you do.
I don't know.
But you can.
Some people dug it, and if you did, more power to you. I posted on the page, like, as a person who loves wrestling and horror, within the first minute of that thing, I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
I try so hard to be positive, but this sucks.
Yeah, no. It was absolutely... I've never actually been much of a fan of the idea of, like, the boiler room brawl or the match that, like, starts backstage. That's mm-hmm. a filmed segment that ends up in the ring kind of thing. Like, I feel like you get it wrong more often than you get it right mm-hmm. when you try and do that, because you don't. I think a big part of professional wrestling is having that crowd to play off of so that you can tell if it's going south to change it.
Right, right.
You know, you can hear them cheer, or you can hear them boo, or you can hear them just go dead mm-hmm. and realize we got to step it up because right. we're losing them.
Yeah, and that's where someone like Chris Jericho is a master, where Absolutely. He really recognizes what the crowd is up to.
Yeah.
And at least will put his best effort in to change it. Sometimes you just got a bum crowd.
Right.
St. Louis a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Terribly flat crowd. And Jericho, I think, specifically tried to get him. He just had to give up, too. Like, all right, dumb marks. You don't know what's...
That was also brutal in the Jericho and Kevin Owens match. We had to see him, you know, saved by a finger. And Jericho noticed this time. And I was like, I'll show you where you can stick that finger. Put it between the ring steps and friggin' break it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, the tough.
And that was, yeah. And that was, you know, similarly brutal. And then, you know, the night ended with the brutality of Braun Strowman.
Yes.
And we love it.
I did not think that's how it was going to go.
Yeah, no. It was another one of those pleasant surprises where it's like, oh, so this is where the hero comes back mm-hmm. and, you know, even battered and bruised, takes down the monster. And I was like, no, this is where you came back too early and you're going to get destroyed.
No, just pretty much a straight up ass whooping.
Yeah.
No, that was a fun match. And, you know, Reigns is a seemingly a consummate professional, and good for him for being willing to do it.
I did listen to last week. You said to check out that Talk is Jericho podcast. Mm-hmm. I did listen to the Reigns podcast, and you were right. Like, he sounds like he's just a good dude, man.
Yeah, and his whole thing is just, I'm a professional. I show up to do my job. So
exactly.
He doesn't, don't mind if I get booed. I still think that he's like got this edge of snarkiness to him where he either doesn't get it or just doesn't care.
Right.
That it's not getting booed for the right reasons, and I wish they would work together to fix that.
I
still think it's repairable.
Right.
But whatever. I don't want to talk about that every week. But it was, probably will.
Right. But it was great. You know, it was great to watch him do the job
mm-hmm.
to Braun, and still, like, to... And it's funny because we've the internet, you know, smarks once again. We've spent so long talking about feeding people to Roman to make Roman look strong. It was really fun to watch Roman make Braun look strong.
Yes,
on Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
and still, you know, come out looking. I heard the rumor is the next Raw, except maybe it's Great Balls of Fire. It'll be an ambulance match.
Oh, okay.
Between the two of them, that they're building this towards an ambulance match. That's why they keep doing spots with ambulances.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the unintentional comedy at the end of the night. I think it was on the network. I think it was on Raw Talk afterwards of them trying to load Roman into the ambulance, and you hear from off camera, "I'm not finished with you," and it just comes blowing through and hits the door.
Yeah, and that allowed Roman to save a little face.
Yeah,
in terms of dodging out of the way and
then beat him with the door open that door.
He blew off the thing
right a few times. To you know, beat back the monster a little mm-hmm. bit.
Yeah,
that's what I've said for months and months. Like, that's how, not so much with the physicality, but that's how Bray Wyatt should be, man. You should survive Bray Wyatt.
Yes,
you should, until he focuses on a new target. You should just survive him.
But no, instead it's
no.
Just
instead
more...
he'll lure you to a house he rented and drop a fridge on you.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make you walk into a room with a nursery and baby dolls hanging from the roof.
That was sorely disappointing. You can make a doll room super creepy.
Yeah.
I will, probably 20 years ago, close to 20 years ago, there was an abandoned hotel on this highway in the mountains of Pennsylvania that I visited.
Okay.
And me and my traveling companion at the time, we infiltrated. It was shaped like a boat. It was called the Ark in Pennsylvania.
All right.
And we infiltrated from the bottom, and we got into the main floor, and we're creeping around in this old abandoned hotel. And we found this stairwell, and we're creeping up, and we can hear a radio. So someone's got electricity in here.
Right.
But we're this far, and we couldn't resist. We creep all the way to the top of the stairs, and we look to the left, and there's a room full of Cupid dolls on the floor. But not like these cute little painted ones like off a bad Etsy store, like right. The WWE promotion, but this creepy, dust-covered pile of dismembered Cupid dolls. And then we heard a noise of someone moving to the right.
Right.
And we ran.
We
ran,
are done. Nope, 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 nope.
Unfortunately, you can find evidence that the place existed online, but it has since burned down. So
yeah.
Unfortunately, I cannot revisit that. It had an old piano and a ballroom. It was really cool. But,
Wow.
But
wow.
Yeah, that was a room for the creepy dolls.
Yeah, that was a house of horrors.
Yes, yes.
That was definitely some place that you don't want to be in. But now the House of Horrors match was a flop.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to see spots in a room, like in a non-ring area, right? We can put people through the drywall and dump over the refrigerator and stuff. But
right.
Generally speaking, it just didn't really work that well. You have this strange, it's not really arcane, nor is it like gangland graffiti that clearly was just some,
the
weird kid who's in the what do they call it when you get a person from college who's there working for free?
An intern.
An intern, yeah. It's like, get the weird intern. He'll put it's have some care and craft, man. That was weak.
It's funny because before you told the story about the Ark, I was thinking with the room with the Cupid dolls. Like, we went to high school with a guy that I remember walking into his room and he had done that in his room. So, I'm looking at that, and I'm like, that creeped me out when I was 16, but now I'm not. I don't care.
Well, this is certainly, dolls can be super creepy. They just whiffed.
Yeah.
Just completely whiffed.
It's another one of those things where, I can't put my finger on why the Broken Hearty segments worked so well when it's kind of a similar formula, not in a creep factor way, but in a let's take the wrestling outside of the ring into some weirdness, at a house or in someone's backyard or something like that. And I would love to know exactly why the Broken Hearty segments work so well. And this is the second time we've done something with Bray Wyatt. The first time was with the New Day and the Wyatt family. And that kind of fell flat too.
I thought that one was much more effective.
Much more effective than the House of Horrors.
But yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't great by any stretch. No, it's a commitment. The Broken Hearties were working out of their house, so it is authentically them.
Right.
These sets that they're making to be authentically, the house that stupid Earthworm Randy
put her down.
Yeah. When they're shooting the interiors of that, the walls are the tin that you'd use to build a shed.
Sure.
And the exterior is a brick building. It's clearly two set. It's a complete lack of commitment.
Yeah.
Earthworms are not scary. Spiders, maggots, crickets would be weird looking.
Yeah.
Centipedes. Earthworms. Weak. It's just like the graffiti inside that house.
Right.
No one would paint that graffiti. There's nothing ominous about that graffiti. It's clearly, spray paint a couple weird looking things in there. No. That's why I love Aleister Black, because he's got the straight up Baphomet stuff.
Right. There's you're saying, there's commitment.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
There's definitely a commitment to character.
Yes. Details, details, details. The devil's in the details.
Yeah, for sure. But, Bray won. So that doesn't happen every day.
Yeah, because it wasn't a title match. Because why would it be?
Right. It's not like you get a rematch when you lose a title, specifically at the biggest show of the year.
Yeah. And and so then he comes out, and here we go again.
Yeah.
With Monday. But let's stick with Bray and transfer over to Monday. Do we have anything to double back on in Payback?
Well, you know what? That was the one thing, speaking of commitment, that was the one thing that bothered me about the second half of the House of Horrors match, is that they can set up and break down the ring for 205 Live every week.
Right.
On Mondays, within a commercial break. but we can put some fucking cobwebs on the ring or some shit.
I like how after a 20-minute limo ride,
yeah,
Bray Wyatt looks... He comes stumbling out.
Like he's still winded.
He clearly was just hammering some cheap vodka because he's stumbling and crouched over and flopping around. Like,
yeah.
Your cardio is like you've been relaxing in an air conditioned limo. You're fine. unless you're completely intoxicated.
Right.
Yeah.
And we know his cardio is good. Like you were wanting to go to Monday and talk about Bray Wyatt. We know his cardio is good because there's somebody took a picture or a video and put it on Twitter of like after Monday Night Raw was over.
Mm-hmm.
And he, after he got done with his thing with Kurt Angle, excuse me, kayfabe sneeze. After his thing with Kurt Angle, he went under the ring. So he was under the ring for like the last hour of Raw. And The Miz, Finn Balor, and Dean, and I think Seth were all in the ring doing a thing. And he got out from under the ring and ran up the ramp.
Oh.
And I mean ran up the ramp and was looking behind him. And everyone was looking around. I was like, what the hell just happened? And Dean was the one that was like, I always wonder how he did that.
Nice.
So we know his cardio is good.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. He's it's like, dude. Dude, you're just in a limo. It's fine.
Right.
You're fine.
Right, yeah. No.
For sure.
Book Bray right.
Yeah, please book Bray correctly. But this is, speaking, you know, talking about Monday Night Raw, I gotta say this is 3 weeks running that Raw is the show that is interesting to me and SmackDown is the show that I'm sitting through.
Yeah, I'm both of them feel that way to me. I do Dean Ambrose. I enjoyed his mic work.
Yeah.
On Monday this week specifically, where he kept throwing it back to Gorilla and yeah. Bobby, and he was having some fun. I thought the women's match was excellent.
Yeah.
You've talked about before. You like when they mix everybody up so you can see different people working with different partners. And I thought that the entirety of the women's division, which essentially was on display there.
Yeah, all eight of them.
They all really put forth great efforts. It didn't feel like anybody was an odd woman out who was just sort of...
Alicia Fox, who really hasn't had a hell of a lot of ring work in the last couple of months, looked good. Dana Brooke,
mm-hmm.
who never looks very strong in the ring, did some solid work.
She always seems to be wondering what the hell they wrote. Why did they write this for me? What am I doing here with my life? Yeah.
No, and I loved the segment that led to that match with the pedestal, because Alexa is obviously smaller than everybody, mm-hmm. so we're going to put her on a giant pedestal.
Oh, yeah, and that was just a fun spot. Let her really stretch her stuff, and then let Bayley just go rage.
Yeah, and listening to her, you know, talk a bunch of smack to everybody, and then back up into Nia Jax, just like, you're great.
Yes.
And these girls are jealous of you.
Yes, that was excellent.
It was the perfect, it's the same kind of heel work we get out of The Miz,
mm-hmm.
of like, there's certain people I will talk a bunch of crap to, but when you back me up into a corner, I will weasel out.
Yes. Classic stuff. Yes. No, that was really good. And could make for, if they ever get to a tag team division in the women's match, somewhere way down the line.
For sure.
That could be a very fun teaming up.
Yeah. Tiny. It would be like the Enzo and Cass of the women's division.
It's very classic.
Nia Jax would just throw Alexa Bliss at people.
Yes.
Like a weapon. Did you you spoke about Deaner doing it, because they set up the match for his title, because we don't have Brock Lesnar around to fight for his title,
right?
So the next time we have a heavy a big title match, it'll be for Dean's Intercontinental title,
mm-hmm.
and then throughout the night, it started with The Miz, and I think it was Charlie Caruso had the microphone, and the camera pans over while The Miz is talking, and the microphone never moved. But when it came back, Dean was the one holding the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And like you're saying, he threw it back to Bobby and Gene,
yes.
In the truck, or he threw it back to Gorilla. But I don't know if you noticed when he was talking to Seth.
Okay.
First of all, great piece of work there. Great to see like face Seth and Dean working kind of together, not together like a team, but together as in like Seth is like, what are you doing? What's going on? Instead of just being angry at him like he would when he was a heel.
Right, sure.
But Seth said something about like, well, I could surprise Dean. And Dean was like, No, I got surprised once. It doesn't happen anymore.
Yes.
Which is a reference to the breakup of the Shield.
Mm. Ah, yes. Excellent.
Max Landis, who I follow on Twitter, is the one that pointed that out. Was
very
like,
nice.
Continuity. Mm-hmm. That is when continuity works, and that's why continuity in wrestling is great.
Right, right, right. Yeah, so, you know, I didn't watch the Shield stuff, so I didn't know what he was referring to, but I...
Didn't catch it myself either.
I didn't feel it was... I mean, it was clear that there was an incident.
Yes.
And that's what made it cool.
Right.
And what makes Two Faces... able to you know, agreeably disagree, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that was really well played, and it showed that, yeah, we're buddies, but this is a real competition, and I've got a little bit of a grudge to bear.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't care if that we're on the same team per se, or if that you're the Golden Knight now.
Right.
I still have something for you.
And then having a segment with Finn where he's like, eat a carb.
Yes.
I love Dean Ambrose.
And I think that was like really shoot, because the way they interplay where he's like, and he takes a bite out of the donut and hands it, and Dean's sort of like, like I think Dean was like, I wonder what
he'll do.
If he'll take a bite or not, or right. If he'll eat the donut, or am I getting the donut back? You know, like that's just the little things that, like, anyone who has a job, you know, you find the little things that make your life a little more enjoyable.
Yeah.
And that was a fun little spot.
No, it was hilarious to watch. And you know, made for a hell of a match at the end of the night too.
Man, I thought that Finn looked as good as he has looked since his best days in NXT. I mean, we haven't seen him much, but some of his kicks were ferocious. That
yeah.
One where he ran around the outside of the ring.
Yeah.
And
was that Miz he caught?
I believe so. Plunked the Miz with that almost like an Enziguri kind of high kick on the apron. Oh, it was like, woo.
Yeah.
Really nice Miz.
And there was that really great spot where I believe Finn like kicked the Miz so that he put his head down, pushed Seth into him so he grabbed him in a headlock, and then like kicked Seth so that he DDT'd the Miz when he fell down.
Off the ropes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And it was like, wow.
Yeah, it was
a
really, really fun spot. Yeah, they all worked together really, really well. And again, we see the Miz can work with everybody.
Because
he's working with three seasoned indie veterans.
Right.
You know, I'm a much bigger fan myself of Rollins and Balor.
Yeah.
But
at the same time, it is fantastic. The Miz is another one of those generation of guys that, like, they aren't part of this NXT uprising of this NXT crop of dudes or these, you know, and it's great to see guys like him and Sheamus, who we have been watching for about a decade now,
right,
be able to reinvent themselves a little bit and you know, show that they still have a place.
Yeah, yeah, and it's fun because you hate to, well, I mean, maybe you don't, maybe people love it. I don't like watching the slow fizzle of somebody. I mean,
sure.
I think a little bit why I constantly fixate on Ziggler.
Yeah.
It's because I feel like at any moment he's just going to say, what the fuck am I doing here? I'm leaving. Whereas it's much cooler to see a reclamation project where, you know, I would have preferred to somehow, some way for Ryback to have turned into somebody I liked instead of somebody who I hated. Same with Roman. I hope there's a day when I can cheer for Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
You
get that John Cena feeling where it's like everybody hates him because everybody hates him, but dude, he's solid.
Yes, yes. And so you see it with Sheamus and with The Miz and one of those other things we talk about every week, and we'll continue to, as long as they keep bringing great work, and it doesn't look like they're stopping, man. The Miz is making all the sense over on Raw.
Right.
The only thing I feel like, well, we talk about this, but why did they split up the New Day and then also moved them to SmackDown? I just don't get. I'm not split them up, but rather not letting them work with one of them being injured.
That bothers,
the whole thing is a disaster.
That bothers me as well. That's that. Like I said before, that seems like the whole purpose why you have more than two guys on a team, basically, is so that if one of them isn't feeling well, then somebody else can pick up the slack.
Sure.
Because all three of us can work. Kind of thing. And just, you know, having Kofi having his surgery and then like not letting Big E and Xavier do stuff. Like, I'm sure Xavier's still doing up down, so, you know, on YouTube,
right?
He's
right,
still
yeah.
playing games on YouTube, so like he's just fine, he's doing work and whatever, and you know, Big E's busy, but both of them are wrestlers, man.
I know. Yeah. And it's not like there's such an overwhelming supply of great tag teams that we can just we've already set them aside for the, you know, the last quarter of last year after they essentially, since they lost the titles.
Right. Right.
They've been more or less on the shelf. They've had some matches, but most of them were job shows, you know.
Right. But and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but especially having...
We can just go all over the place at this point.
Especially having moved New Day to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
If they were taking up a spot on SmackDown in the tag team division, I don't think we would have the program we have right now with the Fashion Police, and that would be a crime.
That is true, I have to say. Boy, if they can build up the Fashion Police in time for the return of the New Day,
yeah,
the Fashion Police with some teeth going after the New Day would be a blast.
Because I'm sure.
It's just, a fashion fiasco with the New Day. You either love it or you hate it. I mean, I'm wearing a New Day shirt.
Right.
I'm all about the unicorn power, but not everybody is.
Right. And you know, the show seems to be all about, you know, commitment, especially when it comes to character. And Fandango and Tyler Breeze, they are committed to that gimmick.
Did you like the Fashion Files?
I loved the Fashion Files.
It just came out of nowhere late in the show.
Amazing.
And I was very happy with it. Yes.
The fact that it starts with them, like, they can't use the Law and Order sound effects.
Because that's
copywritten. That's a trademark thing. So they just go, dong, dong. And then I don't know if you, like, I watched it again. Okay. On the website today, and I don't know how much you looked into the corkboard in the background.
I did. I saw that there were some fun people.
There was
back
a picture of John Cena, and it said whereabouts unknown.
Oh, I didn't see that one. No,
there was a picture of the Shining Stars
with the phrase.
What was it? It was something about real estate fraud.
Nice.
There was Classy Freddie Blassie. There was a picture of him back there. Yeah. There was the big
boss man. I did notice the boss man in the glass.
It was amazing.
Attention to detail.
Yes.
Stuff that you don't see without watching it a second time. If we watch any of that, the horror stuff a second time, it's a disaster. It's
there's nothing.
Earthworms all over again.
There's nothing you missed.
No.
In that, you know.
No. Look, the Usos, they're twins. Identity theft.
Walking around backstage like they own the place. Jaywalking and Jimmy walking.
And Jimmy walking.
God, just so quick, yes. So fast. It was just like the Dean Ambrose thing Monday night. It's like so quick that you don't really catch it
until
you see it a second time.
It's so dumb. Like, it's commitment, man. Commitment.
There's... So fantastic, and I will be a Tyler Breeze fan simply from his NXT work.
Like, okay.
For a long time in NXT, you know, before they basically pillaged a lot of their dudes, a lot of NXT, you would have your title matches,
mm-hmm.
And you'd have your grudge matches where mm-hmm. you'd have your dudes, but there was always, and even to this day, there's usually a match where it's like a guy who's in NXT who's a solid worker
mm-hmm.
against some kind of like returning Ultimo Dragon kind of guy or something like, you know, and Tyler Breeze was that guy in NXT.
Yeah. I got hung up on the gimmick. I never like the look at me guy gimmick. I didn't like it with him. I didn't like it with Adam Rose.
Sure.
I didn't like it with Ziggler. I didn't like it with Shawn Michaels. It wasn't until recently, relatively speaking, that I understood. Once I began to understand the nuts and bolts of professional wrestling, to realize that what Shawn Michaels is doing in terms of promo work is not really relevant because it's his in ring work, which is such a cut above is not even. Yeah, I am completely repentant on the Shawn Michaels tip.
Yeah,
I don't like the gimmick still. Don't particularly care for his gimmick now. if I can be so crass, but. He seems like a good dude, actually. That was crass. But his in-ring work was whoo.
Right.
So I get that now, but at the time I hated it. And the sexy boy and the... I'm like, this is a male stripper.
Right. Well, I think Dolph has gone into, like, an unintentional heel, depending on your politics at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because he comes out with the Don't Tread on Me flag on his, you know, on his tights. And it's just like... All right, whatever's off. Like I can't. It's like you're saying about Shawn Michaels. Like I can't fault your work rate. Like you're a good worker, but I don't care for you as a person.
No, and I don't even really know what he's trying to say is the thing.
It's yeah,
like he's got the American flag, but he's a heel. He's got always some snarky line from a terrible song in the 80s on his butt.
I
don't know what's going on with that guy.
If all four members of Motley Crue had a joint baby, mm-hmm. it would be Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate. But, you know, in a couple weeks at Backlash, we get to see Shinsuke Nakamura kick his face off.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Break that big old jaw of his.
Hit him with the Kinshasa. I actually wrote it down this week so I would say it right because I always Kinshasa. Get it wrong.
Kinshasa.
Kinshasa.
Tell him, Mr. Wolf.
Kinshasa.
Was it Mr. Wolf this week, or was it somebody else on our Facebook that was saying that they felt that like Raw was kind of a snoozer? And I was I didn't respond to it, but I was thinking to myself, I was like, I'm gonna bring it up because like I said before, this is the third week in a row that Raw is the show that even though it's 3 hours, I'm kind of interested in almost every segment. Somebody in every segment is somebody I like and I'm interested in.
I remember the conversation, but I can't think of who it was. Yeah, and I was either. I was not that engaged. Now, whether that's me, it's so hard to tell. I mean, I had people in town. Had a great weekend. And so oftentimes, because of the bipolar, when after a real exciting couple of days, I'm completely depleted of whatever chemistry allows me to feel joy.
Yeah.
So I was sort of shut down by that point.
Right.
So it was hard to say. I did end up watching, I shut it off about halfway through and watched the second half Tuesday. And I'm glad I did that because I was in a slightly better headspace and that final match was so good that I'm glad that I watched it. Without a severe sense of apathy, which is why I turned it off in the first place.
Sure.
But I think besides that and the women's match, I didn't think it was like, it was all right.
Yeah.
It's fun. It was not bad.
Not at all.
It was just not great.
Sure. After, you know, leading into WrestleMania, you get a lot of shows where there's really big high spots.
God, was such a revelation of greatness this year.
Yeah.
That for them not to be seizing it. Is a little deflating.
Yeah, you know? And I think it goes back to what you said earlier. I think it's just a lack of competition.
Yeah,
like you know, what are you gonna do? Go watch Impact Wrestling? They aren't on until Thursday. There's nothing else on Monday night.
It's so weird though, because I mean, if there's a million WWE fans, that means there's a million podcasts because we all turn on a fucking mic and talk about wrestling,
right?
So you'd think that they would, you know, I mean. If their viewership is a million now, and of course I know the numbers are much more than that. That's
right.
Like Impact numbers. But if they have 5 million viewers now, if they have all of us as foot soldiers saying, this is great, it's great, then people are going to start to watch. I mean, you know, as of now, we're just sort of like, it was all right. You know, we're still waiting for the next great thing. And if that persists all the way to SummerSlam, where are you generating the excitement to get new people?
That's true.
I don't know, but I think that's something they need to figure out because there's so much great. And what happens if someone gets hurt? I mean, you know, what happens if there's a career-ending injury to Finn Balor? Do you just decide that the whole Bullet Club thing never happens? Do you switch it over to just AJ and the club?
Yeah. And, no, I think that's
clearly laid the groundwork for Finn though, because he's talking about his you know, the Finn Balor club,
and right?
When Bray Wyatt came in at the end of Raw,
right.
He gave him a bang bang.
Yeah.
Before he Sister Abigail'd him, which I thought was a really nice touch.
Sure.
And also made Bray Wyatt feel more like he's a human being and not just this mysterious squat golem that hides in abandoned buildings from town to town. Again, inconsistent. That's
draws
the problem I have with
draws in the dirt on a refrigerator.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good life.
I'll tell you what, though. Going back to, I want to say Backlash, but that's the next thing. Going back to Payback on Sunday night, I realized while watching Braun and Roman, especially during the end of the match, when they got the stairs out, they dented the stairs, which was an impressive spot.
Yes.
For sure. It was an impressive amount of like kayfabe brutality.
Yes.
Basically.
I thought so too.
But there was a little girl in the crowd that they zoomed in on that was like, no, oh no. And it made me realize that to me especially, and even to you to some degree, there's a lot of, when we see this kind of stuff and we get disappointed, like say the House of Horrors match or something like that, it's because we've seen it done before better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I know personally, seeing her getting genuinely upset about Roman Reigns getting destroyed by Braun Strowman reminded me that like, there is always a segment of the crowd watching, whether it's little kids or whether it's new fans, no matter what their age, that haven't seen this before.
So
this is important to them. This is the moment when Braun Strowman decimated Roman Reigns. This is the moment that that little girl is going to remember as the most brutal thing she saw. Next brutal thing she sees, they'll be like, that's not as brutal when Braun Strowman almost killed Roman Reigns. I was there. It was nasty.
Right. And that's why Roman Reigns will be her favorite forever.
Yep.
When she finally overcomes. And we finally saw something where Roman's like, okay, he's got something to overcome now.
It's not a
wham bam. Oh, here comes Roman. He's going to win. Okay, now Roman's feels like he's behind the eight ball. It feels like he's like getting overbooked.
Like he cannot beat this giant monster. So when he eventually does, it will feel like a major kind of like, oh, this is important. This is an event.
Right. Except for it'll be with a spear and a Superman punch, and it'll feel really stupid and lame.
Yeah.
thank goodness he wears body armor so that when he gets crushed with something, it protects him.
True.
Why every wrestler doesn't wear body armor? I don't know. Well, seems like you would.
That kept all his internal organs in so that because he was coughing up all that blood.
That shot was rough. Like, he swung that stairs over his head down onto him. Like, oof, that looks like it.
It looked bad. It looked really rough. But that's, if I have, anything like, kind of complained about the House of Horrors match, kind of complained about the Bayley thing. Tuesday night, SmackDown, we got the rematch between Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad match, but once again, not as good a match as I'm expecting. And then ending it with Kevin Owens, doing a spot that's supposedly supposed to put Chris Jericho out after a weekend of seeing amazing, impressive, very brutal stuff. It just fell flat to me.
Oh, now see, I thought it was great. I thought it looked mean. It looked tough. It was Kevin Owens being the Kevin Owens I love from the PWG days. I was really excited about it. I thought it really worked. I thought it was very funny how Jericho kept like making crazy, like going, like is
right,
like overselling to the point where it seemed a little silly.
Yeah,
but I just love that he kept coming back into the ring while he's getting worked over by the EMS, and he's like,
"Yeah,
fuck this, powerbomb,
right?
Powerbomb." No, I do know what you mean though, in terms of, and you and I have disagreed on this before, like like when several matches in the one Raw all ended with basically a total chaos slobber knocker.
Yeah,
and how you think that depletes it.
Yeah,
I like it when you have a wave of sort of this heel heel brutality, especially because I feel the heels are becoming effectively very tough now. They're working really stiff.
Well, and it's the kind of thing too that going back to that Talk is Jericho with Roman Reigns that they talked about briefly about like when you're in the PG era, it was something that Jericho had said when he came back in the PG era. It was like, well, if I can't still move the crowd without my son of a bitch and my ass, in my promos, then I'm not worth my salt, kind of thing. And I think it's the same kind of thing. It's if the heels can still make us absolutely hate them and think that, oh, that was brutal,
right,
and still keep it within a PG rating, then that means they're good.
Yes,
that means they're good at their job.
And I think that when I started watching a couple years ago, there was a sort of lack of toughness coming from the heels. It was all chicken shit heels.
Right.
Seth Rollins was sort of the ringleader. And,
yeah.
I mean, he was putting on great shows and doing excellent
promo
work.
But you need both.
But yeah, it never felt like Seth Rollins is going to cripple you. Maybe J&J Security will.
Right. But Seth is going to dodge you for as long as possible.
And so now we have Kevin Owens, who's obviously going to do his thing. We have Samoa Joe, Braun, clearly. And also, I thought that the new guy, the new old guy,
the new old guy.
Yeah. The,
it's not the Miz.
No. Going after the championship on SmackDown.
Now we're both having a brain fart.
Yes.
Jinder Mahal
and the, J&J, Jinder and Jinder Security.
Yeah.
They're doing tough work. I thought that he looked really good.
Yeah, Jinder is definitely very stiff in the ring. And I don't know how much of that might be just being green.
Right.
And how much of that is just legit, just good working. Considering that he freaking concussed Finn Balor on his way out of Raw.
Right.
A couple weeks ago. But yeah, his stuff looks real stiff.
Yeah, and so in terms of that the heavy duty heel factor. He's gonna fit in just fine. And I think it's interesting how they're it's sort of the old school, like, hey, it's a brown man, he's bad guy.
It is,
which is the disappointing egg, but he's doing the whole, you don't accept me, I'm actually smarter than you, I'm more well educated, I'm richer. Right,
which is that Muhammad Hassan character that I told you right. about weeks so ago was kind of like that.
Yeah, it's a much
so if they can stick with that, then at least it's an interesting wrinkle on the same old, put the brown guy in a turban and have him speak Farsi at people, and you know, people will hate that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how that plays out, and if you know, I mean, if they're really trying to sell to the Indian fan base, if they're trying to win over 1.2 million people, is it going to be by giving them a tremendously brutal heel or by creating a face out of him? It'd be interesting to see if, you know, if Jinder's program plays out long term, if he's good enough to last that long.
Yeah.
All kinds of, you know, who knows, all million different variables involved. I'm generally interested, though. Still a lot of people upset just because he came on in a flash and became such an important figure. But, you know, I think the Singh brothers really helps that because he has that extra heel thing going on.
It gives
on.
Him an extra couple of bodies to hide behind if he needs to.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you need to get him out and not make him look weak.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think, I like SmackDown more than you do. I love Sammy's there, and Kevin Owens is running shit just like he should be.
Right. I'm upset that the program they giving Sammy right off the bat in SmackDown is with Baron Corbin. Because I just don't like Baron Corbin.
yeah, I don't.
It's the same thing with Shinsuke. We were gonna feed, The Miz to him, but we lost him to Raw. So let's just give him Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, I don't know what you do with him. Again, give doing a weird thing with hyping him so much, hyping. Like his match better be fucking great.
I know.
The thing that's weird about Shinsuke is that he tells a very like paced story, and I don't know that it's going to be a huge. It's not like you're introducing Finn Balor, so when he shows up, he's doing ninja flips all over the ring, and everyone's screaming NXT, NXT. You know, Shinsuke is like, you have this amazing entrance, and then you either love the strong style or you don't, but you're sort of just wrapped up. It's like hearing like a great 15-minute song where you're just like, you want to hear, you know, it's like, you're going to wait a while for the solo. If you don't like the main riff, you're going to get bored as fuck.
Right.
And I don't know that Shinsuke is going to be for everybody, but the way they're building them up, geez, they clearly have a spot for him.
I absolutely hope that the work he's doing at the house shows is, you know, helping to develop a style that will translate really well. I mean, in NXT, he had a very strong run, you know, with only, I would say, a couple of hiccups, a couple of matches where it's like,
I broke a nose or two.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Friggin' destroy Austin Aries' orbital bone.
Yeah.
Send him off to 205 Live.
Busted Samoa Joe's jaw.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of 205, I was just reading before I came over here this weekend, 205 Live. Do you know the whole the Tom Phillips Instagram story?
No, I do not.
Okay. So last year, Tom Phillips, who is married, from what I understand, or at least has a girlfriend, was trading direct messages on Instagram with some young lady. And when she found out that he was hitched, she got pissed and made them public. And he got in a little bit of trouble for that. So last night, 205 Live, Tom Phillips and Corey Graves are commentating.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what match it was, but Corey Graves brought it up on more than one occasion.
Ooh.
Something about it was because of it was Noam Dar and the other guy that was dating Alicia Fox, Cedric Alexander, fighting again. And he said something about Cedric Alexander or Noam Dar. You know, he just made Cedric Alexander didn't let Alicia Fox know that she was special. And Noam Dar just let her know. It's not like he got a hold of her on Instagram and sent her direct messages or something there.
Oh,
and and then made like a couple other references. And I'm like, man, I hope he's just kind of like it's at a point where like Tom's not in trouble for this anymore, so Corey's just like poking him in the ribs with these.
Yeah, that's something that you hope that there's someone has been informed that it's coming.
Yeah.
You know, you don't drop a bomb on somebody like that without, you know, it'd be like me opening a podcast, just shitting on a couple of guys trying to do a podcast across the world.
Yeah, we'd
for
have
no
to be,
particular reason whatsoever. You'd have to be a real asshole to do that.
I don't know. We'd have to be like at least 11 or 12 episodes in before we started thinking that we could do that.
Yeah, probably. right, so if we were 11 or 12 episodes in, how would people get a hold of you on social media?
They can also always find us on Monday and Tuesday nights on Twitter at One Fall Show, right?
Mm, yep, yep.
And that's where you can find me at Chizuck Bean. I'll be commentating along with Shawnee here.
Yep, Shawnee Constant at Shawnee, ShawnnyConstant. No one ever follows that, but I say it every time. We're on Facebook. We have a group over at the, probably the One Fall Show crew, it's probably called. I usually throw crew on the end of something, and we have some fun over there. It's a nice little growing community.
I have to say, if you haven't checked it out yet, you definitely should when you hear this, because just tonight, I don't know where you found that picture.
Oh, I've got
the Sheamus Cesaro picture, but
I stole it from the La Pato wrestling page. And
fantastic.
Whenever I take something, you know, it's so weird because of course everybody in the fan world is just yoinking stuff from each other. So
yeah.
Giving credit is always weird, but I always say yoink when I'm going to use something for my own purposes. So I gave him a yoink, took that. join us over there, unless you're a fan of the Turning Heel podcast, in which case you can go fuck yourself.
Oh, my God.
All right, man. So too sweet.
Too sweet.
Two whoops.
Whoop.
For life.